Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. Kind of bear down and get this. This is one of the tough systems. They're not all fun to talk about, and this one is fun for like the first half of the list, and then after that it becomes significantly less fun.
Yeah, that happens. You know, just we're kind of in the doldrums of all the prospect minutes where we're starting to hit some of the teams that have maybe be sold off a lot of their talent or have graduated a lot of their talent. So
yeah,
it's not surprising that this one is not going to be as long as some of the others.
And
we are talking about the Washington Nationals, who have graduated a ton of talent and so maybe don't have the deepest system in the world. But before we jump into that, remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB.
The system's going to get a little bit worse when Victor Robles graduates, too, in a few weeks.
I know, but he's going to be a fun guy to watch for
the draft this year. The easy comp is Starling Marte, and I get it because I think that makes a lot of sense. It's actually pretty apt. I think people are underselling the power. I mean, what would you project Robles' power to be for next year?
For next year?
Yeah.
I think I would say 15 to 20 home runs, I think, is a reasonable projection.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you're more aggressive than some of the projection systems out there on the power. And I'm more in line with you. Watching him in, you know, get his late September call-up, he had 66 plate appearances late in the year. He had 288, 348, 525 with three homers and three doubles, a triple, and three stolen bases. So that's a good sample of like what you know you can get from. He's an exciting player, and that home run he hit in Miami sticks with me. The one he hit off the sculpture, I think, right? Somebody with that much power doesn't top out at 10 home runs a year. So I have a hard time with some of the you know, 10 to 12 projections. I think he's more 15 to 20, like you said. And not only that, the floor here is high because he's a 70 everywhere on defense. He's a 70 runner, a 70 glove, a 70 arm. That's all going to keep him in the lineup. So, again, the Starling Marte comps are apt. I think he's got more power than Marte does. Over the fence power, anyways.
I don't know if I would agree with that, but I think they're pretty comparable, and you know how much of a Marte guy I am.
Yeah, so. You're the Marte fan club guy, so yeah. I think Harper's probably most realistic destination is probably the Nationals at this point. I don't know.
You think so? I think it's the Phillies.
It might be either way, but Robles is Harper proof is what I'm trying to say. Like even if Harper signs in Washington, he's going to play.
Yeah, for sure.
So don't let that away. Yep, don't get in the way. Don't let anything get in the way of that. I mean, but, you know, having Robles and Soto around for a combined, like, $1.1 million is actually more incentive to sign Harper because you have a really cheap outfield for a couple years with those two guys, Robles and Soto. But, like, if Soto doesn't get hurt, or excuse me, if Robles doesn't get hurt last year, he had a nasty injury when he dove and...
We never hear of Juan Soto.
Busted his elbow. We're talking about Juan Soto right now, is mm-hmm. If Robles doesn't get hurt. So keep that in mind. Robles was the plan A for the Nationals. As much as everyone loves Soto, don't get twisted that Robles was actually their first option.
And I think he, long-term, he's the better fantasy player.
Yeah, potentially, yes.
So, I mean, this is a guy who, while Soto has, I think, some pretty nice power upside and is, you know, an amazing eye, I think Robles' tools, fantasy-wise, will translate better. I mean, this is a guy that could legit be a 15-30 or a 20-30 fantasy player.
I don't want to rain on the Soto parade and sound like I'm anti-Soto.
But I'm not anti-Soto either. I love Juan Soto.
There's a really good chance that he had his best career season.
I don't believe that.
I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm negative on Soto because I'm not. But, like, he's a really good hitter, and he's gonna get pitched differently going forward than he was at least the beginning of his career. But like Robles, do you have any idea where he's going in ADP for redraft leagues this year?
I can find it real quick while you talk.
If it doesn't take too long, I mean, he's a guy that I'm excited about, and I'm going to try to get almost everywhere because the upside is like superstar. But, you know, you're looking at the floor. The floor is even above average player just because the glove, and he should hit leadoff.
He's currently going as the 26th outfielder off the board on in NFBC, just inside, and I mean just inside the top 100.
Oh, wow. So he's going higher than I thought.
Yeah,
okay.
He's going higher than I thought, too. He's currently going ahead of Conforto, Gallo, Eloy Jimenez, D. Gordon, Will Myers. I think
that's right. I think he should.
You think he should go ahead of Conforto?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. I don't know if I'm going to have him that high, but I will definitely have some shares of Victor Robles.
Yeah, you should. Robles is a nice all-around player. Well, you get the idea with him. We'll shift over to Carter Kieboom. Kieboom might be the best offensive middle infield prospect in the upper minors. 280, 357, 444, 16 homers, 19.5% K rate, 10% walk rate. Looking at a future, you know, 275, 280 hitter that can hit 25 home runs. He's that kind of bat. He's a special bat. He's shortstop long term, I don't know about that. He's getting some time at second base. I think his best fit's probably third, just because he's a little bit bigger. But he's going to be an above average glove wherever he lands. He can play shortstop, and I think he can stick there. But with Trey Turner there, you're not going to move the established guy for the rookie. So, you know, I see Kieboom as a very, very valuable piece of the Nationals going forward, and yet another reason why they should splurge on Harper, because he's another cost-controlled guy that they have coming up that's going to be a dynamic producer. Just think how good an infield of, like, you know, you look at the infield of Rendon, Turner, Kieboom, and whoever at first, it doesn't even matter. That's a really good infield. And then the outfield could be Robles, Soto, Harper. I mean, that's a really strong core. Not to even talk about Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin. But Luis Garcia will come in third. And, yes, we just talked about a Luis Garcia, but this one's a different one, and this one is the more highly regarded one, the Nationals version. Lefty hitter, contact first approach, above average speed, developing power, got off to a really slow start in April, but after May 1st hit 320, 355, 447, despite being 17 years old. So that's a really strong tools, a really strong hit tool. Probably, you know, tops out at about 40 grade power, but really good hit, really good speed. Just an all-around exciting player. The defense isn't elite, which there's going to be better shortstops in the national system. It's just it's a kind of a question to see whose complete package of skills is better, because we're going to get to a couple other shortstops down this list. But Luis Garcia is a really, really good player, and you should get investing in him now because he's about to get really expensive for dynasty leagues. Mason Denneberg is next up. Really big guy, 6'4", 200 pounds, was the Nationals' first-round pick this year. And as they often do, he slipped to them because he was injured. Had a little bicep tendonitis. And the Nationals scooped up the injured pitcher. They do that a lot. That's kind of their thing. They get the injured arm and who's got a higher ceiling than where they can draft him at. Denneberg came back on the mound and threw during instructs. He was 90 to 94. He can touch 97 when he's healthy. And he has a plus curveball, has the changeup that flashes and needs more work. But you're looking at a guy who has the upside to be a number two starter, might be a mid rotation starter as a realistic four or even a late inning reliever. If he can prove to be healthy, Denneberg is going to shoot up the board. So he's a guy to get on the ground floor now.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Yasiel Antuna is next. He's a smooth fielding, switch hitting shortstop who's power over hit tool right now. So it's a unique profile for a power first shortstop. If you squint, you know, you get significant upside here. I'm not particularly all in on the upside because I do think there's some issues with the plate discipline that don't show up in the K rate. The K rate is 21.8%, the walk rate's 8.8, but he still chases a lot and high fastballs and struggles to pick up spin. So there's a lot to work on here. The hit tool is immature, but Antuna is a guy that's he's got the ceiling to be a slightly above average regular. Seth Romero, he's going to miss all this next season for Tommy John surgery, but he's here because he's explosive on and off the field, evidently. He's dealt with a lot of off-the-field stuff that have slowed him down, and this is going to be the most important year of his life for Romero for his professional career. And he's not even going to pitch. Tommy John rehab can be more difficult than pitching. From everything we've read, it's one of the most difficult things you can go through. So if he's able to stay focused and conquer this rehab stuff and get in better shape, he's going to be a monster when he comes back healthy. So Seth Romero is a guy that is worth tracking. Take a shot on. Could be completely nothing, but he's a dart throw because I think if he comes back healthy and with his head on properly, he's either going to be a dominant starter or a really good back end reliever. So he's a guy to take a flyer on, but just know that you might get nothing out of it. Tim Cate was their second pick in this year's draft. One of the best curveballs in the 2018 draft. Has a mid-90s fastball. Only 6 foot tall from the left side. Doesn't really have a third pitch, so he kind of screams relief profile. Gage Canning, a kid out of Arizona State, really good college producer, was the draft pick for them this year. Needs to be more consistent making contact. Kind of sold out for power a little bit, and you saw the strikeout rate bump up to 30%. And he has struggles picking up spin, and he's prone to chasing the high fastball. He's always going to be a higher-end strikeout guy, and he's not as quick as the numbers indicate. But he can be a very solid fourth outfielder or lefty platoon guy. You get like a strong like Randall Grichuk vibe when you look at Gage Canning's numbers and the tools, and I think that's a fair best-case scenario. Will Crow was the ace on the – I have him listed as an outfielder in this guide. He should be a right-handed pitcher, so correct that. He's a number four starter build. He's similar to Lance Lynn build-wise, but 88 to 94 in the fastball, low 80s slider, mid-80s change, high 70s curveball. Doesn't miss as many bats as he should, despite the stuff being above average. But he's going to be the kind of guy which, if the Nationals let him, he's going to be able to go 190-plus innings consistently because he's a big frame guy. He's a horse. He was the best pitcher on the South Carolina team that went to the College World Series. He was an ace on the National League, an ace on their last national championship club as well. So he's got moxie. He's a guy that is better than the stuff. He pitches. He's always pitches above his stuff, and I don't see any reason why that would stop. Talmito Augustine is a flyer, a contact speed based kind of guy. He needs a little more contact or more speed to be a regular. And doesn't really have much power. He's probably a fifth outfielder. Jackson Tetriault is kind of a swingman arm. Reed Schaller is a guy that I liked out of this year's draft. They got from Vanderbilt. I think he's had Tommy John rehab, so he's coming back now. He's been clocked as high as 100 miles an hour, but he's really only fastball. He's fastball only, really. His slider kind of flashes, and he also has a changeup. But he doesn't really get into that pitch that much. He screams reliever. He probably is that, but Reed Schaller has some, out of Vanderbilt, you're going to have my attention, so he's a guy to track. Drew Ward is still a prospect. He's been around for seemingly like a decade now, but he's a power-only first base kind of guy who might not hit for enough of it. The Nationals don't really have much else in the system. There's Israel Pineda is a catching prospect that you should know. He's kind of coming around. But again, a catcher In short season, had good plate skills, hit for some moderate power, makes consistent contact, hard contact. He's got some offensive tools which make him somewhat interesting, but it's an underwhelming system here. Sterling Sharpe is an arm that doesn't miss as many bats now, but I think there's some coming. And yes, it's not the NFL tight end. It's a 6'4", 180-pound wide receiver. I'm kidding. A 6'4", 180-pound right-handed pitcher. He's built like a wide receiver. Off-the-charts athleticism, an untapped potential. Got a couple above-average offerings in the low 90s fastball with some sink and run and some changeup feel. Kind of thrives on weak contact more than missing bats, but Sterling Sharpe is an interesting piece, but not when I'm rostering anywhere, but just kind of file the name away. But it's a pretty weak system. They will get a compensation pick if Harper goes somewhere else, so I guess that's a somewhat bright side. But at least the major league team's good, because the system is not.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on right now, Matt?
A lot of stuff over at Prospects Live, finishing up the prospect pieces for this draft guide. And on top of all that, trying to do my redraft ranks as well. So it's been fun and also not enough time in the day, but it's a good problem to have because we're doing fantasy baseball stuff. So
this is true. You can reach me on Twitter. You can read all my stuff at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, and, of course, Friends Fantasy Benefits. Draft Guide coming soon. Hopefully here in the next day or so we'll have that all taken care of and up on Amazon, so be looking for that. The Fantasy Benefit. You can also get a PDF copy if you don't want to get an ebook or a paperback by emailing me at friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com, and I will kind of tell you how you can pay for it, and then we'll send it to you. And we'll be updating that all throughout the off season, the ebook and the PDF. So you'll have updated stuff as people continue to sign or get traded or move around or get injured, whatever happens. We'll continue to update that all off season. So definitely check that out. 375 pages currently of amazing goodness. And it's going to get a little bit bigger as I finish importing all the ranks and the last couple prospect pieces. So and then you catch me on the Super in the Bus and TGFBI podcast, where Matt Thompson was a guest. So definitely go check
it out. Yeah, definitely.
All right, that's going to do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.